So it was a couple of weeks ago now, Joseph taught in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, and tonight we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which is, I think one was about the practicality of giving, and one was, this one's more about the heart of giving. So it's more or less about the same thing, giving. And giving is something, as Christians, that we should do. Now, I'll just say this to everybody here. We don't receive any payment. Me and Joseph, we've never had a pound coin out of the church. The only time we receive anything, if I go visiting preaching, we might take us out for something to eat, and they give us diesel money for going there. Everybody hear that? That's it. That is as much as we've ever had out of anything. And anybody who comes here, we do the same for. Sean will give them the money for their diesel, and we'll take them out for something to eat. That's it. So we're not, this is not a, we're reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9 because this is in the Bible and this is our Bible study. I'm not reading this because our tithes are down and we want to get a few money out of everybody. That's not where we're at. And if you have a problem with giving, then you have a problem with the scripture. You don't have a problem with anybody who's standing here preaching, because we're going to read the scripture and then let's understand what this says. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, before I go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray, my Lord, I do ask that here tonight, my God, that you would speak to your church, my Lord, and you'd speak to us here, my God. I pray, my Lord God, that you would do a work in and through us, my Lord, with your word, and that we would apply your word to our lives. My Lord God, no matter how we want to think about this or how we want to act about it, my Lord God, but I pray, my God, that it's your word that guides us, my Lord, not we that guide your word. And I pray, my Lord, that our lives would come into line with what you teach, my God, from your word. I pray and I ask this in and through the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this is Paul who's written 2 Corinthians. He's writing it back to the Corinthian church. So he's writing it back, he's writing these letters. This is for the Corinthian church. This is what you've got to do. This is what's happening. And this is what he says. So the verse 1. Now concerning the ministry of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. I just want to tell you that I'm quite pleased that I pronounced that word really good, superfluous. And I had no clue what that meant until I had to study this. I've only heard it in the Greek once before, but that was about it, superfluous. It means more than unnecessary. It just means it's unnecessary, more than unnecessary. It says, now concerning the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous to me to write to you, meaning that it's unnecessary for me to write to you. For I know that the willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, and that Arcadia was ready a year ago, that your zeal was stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest you the boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I say to you, may be ready. Lest if some from Macedonia come with me to find you unprepared, it would not to mention you should be ashamed of this conflict. The confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, that which you had previously promised, that it may be ready in a matter of generosity and not a matter of grudging obligation. So Paul spoke to these, obviously, it was over a year ago when he was talking to them. Now, what we have to understand is that the church at this point, it's a brand new church, and the work of the Lord is going out through the whole world. But the people in Rome, the Christians that was in Rome, Jerusalem, not Rome. The Christian that was in Jerusalem, Hebrews talks about the ones in Rome, I think. So now he's talking to the Christians that's in Jerusalem, who once had plenty of money, but now have spent all their money. They're out, they've got nothing. And they've become a poor church. And the people are giving them money, giving gifts. So the work of the Lord is going out, and we're giving gifts, we're giving gifts. That's what they was doing. And they preached the word to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthians are a little bit wealthy, they have a few pounds, and they are now providing a gift to give back, to send back to go back to the churches that are in need. This is what's going on. The churches that have money are giving to the churches that have not. That is always the understanding of giving in the word of God. Those that have, give to those that have not. That's how it works. Pretty straightforward, that, isn't it? If we're a church here and we've got plenty, we've got a few quid, and there's another church that's in desperate need that can't pay their bills, would it not be right for us to go, here, brother, keep preaching the gospel? Of course it is. And he's saying, Paul has been bragging about this, if you like. He has been saying, he's boasting in this, and he's saying, listen, the Corinthian brothers, they're good brothers. We know that they're preparing a gift, and they're going to give it. They're going to give it. They've pledged, they've said that they're going to do it, they've promised they're going to do it, and they're going to give. They're going to give to this work. And he's boasted about it to the Macedonians, and he's told them, look, don't worry, the Corinthian brothers, they're going to give. They're going to give. Now, Paul writes to them loads of different things. But concerning giving, he says it in this way. I'm going to send these people ahead to collect the gift so that when I turn up, it's not like, oh, Paul's here, he's telling us we've got the gift. Paul said, I'm only going to get what you've pledged or you promised to give. I'm only coming, you've said it, so you've just said you're going to give, I'm only coming to get it. That's what Paul is saying. And then at the end of it, he says this, that the matter of this, of your generosity, may not be a grudging or obligation. So Paul is saying, we're going to deal with this matter beforehand, because when I come and visit, people are going to feel like they're obligated. They're obligated to give. They're like, oh, you have to give this, or you have to do that. The giving should never be an obligation. You shouldn't give because, oh, I have to give. I have to give this money. I have to give this. I have to do it. It's not about having to give. We don't. It's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you've promised to help out the church in that. You've said you're going to collect. You're going to give that. This is what's going to happen. These brothers are going to come there. They're going to collect the gift. So when I come there, we ain't even talking about that. Paul himself, the Bible says that Paul worked tirelessly amongst people. We know what Paul done for a living. If Paul was about today, he would earn a fortune if he would just build a few awnings. But he never, he done tents. But if he changed his trade and was about today, he would earn a fortune off of us. Paul made tents. So when he went into a church, he never come there and went, right, I'm a teacher. Feed me, give me money, let me live. He never. He come in, worked amongst them, preached the gospel, people got saved, and he worked with them. He worked alongside them. And when they were saying, how to be give, Paul would have given. Here we see this understanding that Paul isn't asking for himself, he's asking for the brothers and sisters, he's asking for the other churches, that they would give, and it wouldn't be obligation, but they were going to give what they promised. Paul has been pleased with this. He said there at the beginning, he said, I know that this is unnecessary, that word superfluous, for I know that you are your willingness, which I boasted of you in Macedonia and in Arcadia. And he's saying about this, he's saying that you've set the standard here. I've boasted about you, and the majority of the people have got together and said, well, look, other churches are doing it, let's do it, let's put the money together. Let's help out those that are in need. We shouldn't find it hard as Christians to give to the work of the Lord. And I say this to every person in here. You can't build the work of the Lord on a 10-pence piece. If every person here just throws in a few coins in here and there and think, that's fine, but your heart in that is not quite right. And I'll tell you where I can explain that to you. I don't belong to me, I belong to him. I'm not mine. Jesus is now my master. And I might not be able to preach the word, I might not be able to do great things, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can give to the work of the Lord. I can give. And no matter whatever state you're in, you can give. I remember the missionaries, they went to India. And they was in India, and they're preaching the gospel, and people's getting saved. The people's generally getting saved. And they're having meetings, and then they're going to start up a church meeting. And one of the brothers that was there, he said, we should have a collection. He went, how are we going to have a collection here? These are the poorest people. How are we going to have a collection here? Now, to me and you, you'd say, whatever's the good of this, what do the people want to have a collection here? The heart of it is, as Christians, we give. It isn't about the amount, it's that we give. They had a collection in this place in India, and they said there was a nail. Somebody put a nail in. Somebody tore a button off their shirt and put the button in. They give out of their povertyness. They give out, they never had money, but they give. And do you think that God is any man's debtor? Do you think if I put money in that offering or I give somebody something that God's my debtor now? Because, Lord, I give you £100 that time. What do you think? God's no man's debtor. You will not outgive God. You won't do it. And in a minute we'll read on and it'll tell you, give us a better understanding of this. But they give because a part of Christianity is to give. Do you know when you hold on to your finance in such a way, you're holding on so tight that you won't give, you wouldn't do it, then I'm afraid to say that God has to do something in your heart with that. I say this, we put our money in the offering. I put my money in like you do, I put my money in the offering. When that goes in the offering, yes, here we will have a say, and I'll say, what? Well, me and Joseph or the other brothers or whoever, oh, we're going to get a bus, or we're going to do this, or we're going to buy this, or we're going to go. We never say, no, we're going to go here. We just say we're going to buy something or pay for something. But at other times when I've been in different churches, I don't have no say over that what's being done. Do you know the minute that I put it in that offering, my heart between me and the Lord, that's fine. That's dealt with. If whatever that person does with that money, if they do something wrong with it, then they have to answer to God. They don't answer to me. We have to answer to God who we spend. Now, because we're a charity, and I'll say this again, and for the benefit of the recording, we're a registered charity. Each church has its own accounts. You want to know what's collected on a Sunday? Ask Sean. Sean will tell you. You want to know what gets spent over a month? Sean will give you the list and say, there it is. If you want to know what the mission has, you can go to the accountant, the mission accountant. And because it's a registered charity, it's not really the mission's money. It belongs to a charity. We can deal with things. We don't have to pay tax on it. It's better for us that way. But brothers and sisters, we're buying tents and churches up and down the country. What, ain't that a good thing to be a part of? And praise the Lord, in a minute, it'll be our turn. It'll turn around that we've got a church. Or we'll have a building. But we give. The heart of it is to give. We give. As Christians, we give. The first example I want to give to you about giving. Hello? The first example I want to give to you about giving is when you see Abraham, you talk about a man in the Bible, in the Old Testament, called Melchizedek. Melchizedek, his name was, it meant the Prince of Peace. And the place that he was Jerusalem, was Salem. And he was the king of that, or the prince of that place. He was the Prince of Peace. He was like a, an Old Testament version of Christ. That's what it was like. Abraham gave him 10% of what he had. He gave to him. Do you know what Melchizedek gave Abraham? Melchizedek gave Abraham bread and wine. Right. If that ain't eating anything here, I just want you to understand this a bit better. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth, and Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. I tell you something about us as church, and for every person here, we are willing to come around the Lord's table and accept the bread and wine. We are willing to take that, because that's what God gave. That's what cost heaven all. That was the bank account of heaven. We represent that bread and wine that is given to us. But there has to be something given in return. Abraham gave a tenth. Abraham gave his money. Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. We don't give because other people can do better with their money. We give because God commands to give. In the Old Testament, people give a 10%, give a tithe. That's what tithe means, 10%. But I want to tell you something. If they cut the field and it was they cut grain. What am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Wheat?
Corn.
Corn, wheat. They cut it. 10% of that they would take to the storehouse. They would give it to the temple. That's where the 10% would be. So whatever fruit they picked, whatever food there was, they give it. Out of the lambs, out of the sheep that they give, the cows that was, they give 10%. They give the 10% of it.
Wine.
Yeah, everything. Wine, oil, 10% of everything. They give 10% of what they had. They give that. 10% of everything they had. Now, many of us, or many people teach that tithing is not a New Testament. It's not found in the New Testament. Found more in the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. It's in the Gospels. New Testament giving is completely different. New Testament giving is that they give all. They give what they had. Let's preach the gospel. Sell this field. Let's go on. That's why you have the story of Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira. The man Barnabas, it means son of encouragement, he had a field. He sold the field and then he gave the money to the church and said, come on, let's go and preach the gospel. Feed the widows, feed the orphans, let's preach the gospel. Let's live on this. And he was known as Barnabas, son of encouragement. So when Ananias and Sapphira come in, they sold their field and wanted to keep the money. But they wanted the name. That was the difference. They wanted the name. They wanted to say, oh, we'd give all the money, but kept part of it back. That was the sin there. That's what they did that was wrong. It was the lying. It was the deceitfulness of it. It wasn't the fact that they could give half. Yes, they could, but they wanted people to believe they give all. And the deceit killed them. That's what happened. So in the early church, they give all. Now, I don't expect everybody to give all. I don't. We don't want you to give all. But that's between you and the Lord. That's not between me. If you want to give a tenth, a tithe, you say, right, this is the way that I want to give. This is the way that I feel that I should give. Or this is the easiest thing for me. If I earn £100, I can give £10 of that. If that's what you want to do, then do that. Because it's a condition of your own heart. But I want to tell you something. I went to Nando's this week. Me, Cindy and Delilah. And I spent £81 in Nando's. £81. That's what I spent. I know I wasn't the only one who went out on a Sunday and spent nearly 100 quid on food. I know that most of us did that. So I just want to make this aware that there is giving. I do go out and I go and eat. Do you know, some of us have better budgets for our shoes than what we do to give to the work of the Lord. We have shoe budgets that go on and on and on, and we go, yeah, spend 100 quid on this, spend 100 quid on this, and put £5 in the offering. Are you joking? What's wrong with your heart? Come on. Church, we don't need your money. We only rent this building. We only rent this building. A couple hundred quid, what is it? 2.5? Jim Baker ain't here.
£370 a month.
£370 a month. That's how much we give for this. Our offering this week was 280, wasn't it, Sean? So our offering was 280 this week. Thank the Lord for it. I'm not interested in your money, but I am interested in you being a giver.
Amen.
There is a heart matter in this. You can ask the Lord to do every miracle and want everything from the Lord, but what are you giving? How much do you believe in the Lord? Well, your pocket will show that. Your pocket will show that. And I'm not saying this because we don't get nothing. We don't. And if you don't believe me, please go and ask. Do the book. Do the paperwork. For everybody, please go and look. I put my hand in my pocket and I put money in that offering too. I do. I know Joseph does. We're not out to take from anybody. But I promise you that we can never, ever outgive God. We can't. And it's a teaching from the Word of God, from Abraham all the way through the Word of God. When you look at David, he came to a field that he had to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And he went to the man and said, "Sell me that field." And the man said, "No, my Lord David, you have it, keep it." And David said to him, "No, I will buy this field." He could have had it for free. And he said, "I will not worship God with the things that cost me nothing." It costs to be a Christian.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about time. I'm not talking about other things. I'm talking it will cost you money. Maybe you don't give to the work of the Lord. Maybe you don't want to give to this church. Maybe you don't. Brothers, please find somewhere else that you can give. Find a charity that you can do something with. Find something between your own heart and you. Give. Charity has the word love in it. That's where it is, and that we love. And in that love, we give. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, or of God loves a cheerful giver." Sorry, let me read that verse 7 again. "So let each one of you give as he proposes in his own heart." This is the heart of the matter. You should give what your own heart determines for you to give. That's what you should do. You should give what your own heart allows you and what God wants you to do. So let me tell you the best way to do this, brothers and sisters. This is the best way. "Lord, I'm on my way to church this morning. What would you have me give? What would you have me give for your work? What would you have? What do you need from me? What should I give?" It's in his own heart. Not grudgingly. Do you know, if you begrudge putting money in the offering, do you know, well, I've got a saying for every one of you. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Don't put your money in if you begrudge putting your money in. Can that be any more simple than that? It says not out of a necessity. That word necessity, it meant being forced. There's someone's forcing you to put money in. So it would be like, "Before you can enter these doors, we want £10 out of every person." We don't do that. We've never done that, and no church will do that. But it's saying that you shouldn't be forced into doing this. On the telly, we see a lot of what we call money preachers or money evangelists. People that will say, like, "If you give £10, if you give £10, you're going to receive £100 back." We've all seen them. Eh? Yeah, put it with a spoon, take it out with a shovel. I like it, Billy. I like it. Praise the Lord. The idea of this is that there are people, there are ministers that fleece the sheep. And what I mean by fleecing the sheep, they take off of them. They take the money off of them. So we've got people that's got mansions, driving about in Bentley cars, and got aeroplanes and helicopters and... And what's the point of all that? Why would they take out? They don't go to work. They're not earning it. They're taking it out the church pot, out the church, so the congregations are paying their wages. There is nothing wrong for ministers, not in our mission, we don't do it, but other ministers, there's nothing wrong for them getting paid. I mean, we ain't got a problem with that. If somebody's a minister and they're full-time ministry, and that there you go, it's biblical. So the idea of this, there are people that get it wrong. And because people get it wrong, it doesn't mean to say that we have to throw it all out there. It doesn't mean that. It means we have to do what's right. So how does it say? So each one should give as he purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly, and not out of necessity, not being forced. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. You want to know what this word cheerful means? The only time that this is mentioned in the New Testament. It's called, it's where we get the word hilarious from. This word, God loves a cheerful giver, or God loves an hilarious giver. Do you know what that means? Someone is so happy that they're laughing. That they're happy about it. God loves a cheerful giver. And if I brought the offering round here to you tonight, you'd all be sick as pigs. If this was my words, I would word it a bit different than this. God loves for you to praise the Lord and that, thank you, Jesus, I'm able to give. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to give. Thank you, Lord, that I can do this. I thank you, Lord, that I've worked this week and I've set aside something and I've give. Brothers, when you ain't got no work, sisters, when you got no work, who do you ask to find your work? So the Lord finds you. He provides your needs. So what is he saying then? I provide your needs, you provide the needs for others. That's the routine here. He says, but I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully also reaps bountifully. So let each one give to his purpose in his own heart, for not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, and that may have abundance in every good work as it is written. So the idea of this is that we give to the work of the Lord. Now, I want to read you something in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. This is what the Bible says, not me. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You have cursed with a cause. For you have robbed me even in the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. This is a scripture that we have in the Word. Do not put the Lord God to your test. We know that. We know what Jesus quoted that. Here we have this. This scripture says, God would say, test me in this. This is what the Bible says. In my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, and will I not open the windows of heaven? I'll tell you what this is. This is the verse that we use, that God is no man's debtor. You give. So we're not here to say if you put your offering in, you put a £10 in, God's going to give you £100 back. We're not saying that. It's definitely not what I'm preaching. What I am preaching is that you give that does something in your heart, and God blesses. God's blessing doesn't mean to say it's money. If God blesses you, sometimes it ain't money. But the faith that you have to give is something that God adds to and builds up. We have to be people that are happy with joy to give to the work of the Lord. So Be happy and give to the work of the Lord. You seem pretty miserable about that. Maybe I ain't saying it.
No.
Be happy and give to the work of the Lord.
Amen.
It says, now he may who verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you have sown and increase your fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of the service, not only the suppliers of the needs of the saints, but also in abundance through many and thanksgiving to God. He's saying here again that God is going to use the money that you give to supply the needs to the saints. That's what he wants to do. He wants to give and supply the needs to others. While through the proof of the ministry, they glorified God through the obedience of your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your liberty, sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer, you because of your exceedingly grace of God, in which thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Again, you have something here that's going on. These people who are giving to the saints, the people's prayed for them, they're ministering in their gift, they're providing the needs of others, they're sharing with all men, and you see the work of the Lord going on. So their gift that they give is now multiplied into being thanks to God for the gift that's been given. It's been thanked for the work and the supplying of the saints. The gift that they give, the Corinthian church give, was something that God used to further the gospel. Here we have this idea, is that the money that is collected by the church of God, by the people of God, should go on the things of God, the work of God.
Amen.
That's what we give for. I want to be able to say that we give them little shoeboxes out at Christmas. We give them things. We're abundant in that. And Lord, God knows that there have been times in this church that I remember, I think it was Stafford Church, that needed there was £10,000 for their electric. We had £10,000 in our account. We just said, well, give that to them then. Let them get the electrics done. There was another church that needed £5,000 for, I think it was chairs, wasn't it, or carpet.
We gave £10,000 to Doncaster to help build their church in the first time.
£10,000 to Doncaster to help build their church. There was money from this church that we've helped supply the needs of others. Don't worry, we'll get our turn back at one stage. Yeah, that's fine. But brothers and sisters, that's what the work is for. I remember going into Doncaster Church going, yeah, we help pay for this. Going into Stafford Church, yeah, we help pay for this. That's what it's for. That's what it's about. And we are, if you give, then you're a part of that too. Just want to say that when they received that gift, it was used to do what was right with that money. And brothers and sisters, know this, that we are not squandering any gift that has been given here. We are not taking it, we're not eating it, we're not partying with it. We are giving ourselves to the work of the Lord. That's why we are treasurers. The heart of this is all Christians, no matter whether you are a millionaire or you struggle or meagre, you should give. Because God says, try me in this. That's what God says. Not me, not Joseph, not this church, not this mission. God says. And the way that you should give, what should be the heart of you to give? How should you give?
Cheerfully.
Hilariously. Cheerfully. Happily. Happy to give. Happy to give for the things of the Lord. Happy to do it. And I think for us as Christians, knowing what we've received in Christ, I'm happy to know that I can give. I'm happy to give. And that should be the heart of all of us. You know that the widow's mite that she put in, I think it's Mark 12, two copper coins. They was worth, in today's money, I'll get this right, it was 1/5 of 1 pence, then 2 copper coins. So she would need 40 of them to make 1 pence. That's what she would need. But when she put them in and give, God said, Jesus said, she has given more than all of this. It wasn't the value, it was the heart of the matter. We are told to give. We are told to give, that's it. Is there anything more than that? I don't need you. If you've got £100 in the bank, I don't want you to come and give £100 in there. We're giving £100. I don't need to do that. If you put £1 in and that's what God said in your heart that you're going to do, then go for it, do it. I think a base level for all of us, I think the tithe is a good thing for all of us that work. It's a good base for us. But it says here that each man should give what his heart says that he should give. And be careful, because if your heart says don't give nothing, then there's something going on there. There's something going on in your own heart. If the reason why you won't give is because we're wasting it, come and see the books. If the reason why you won't give to the gypsy church, because then go and give to someone else. But make sure that your heart is giving to the work of the Lord. God bless you.